south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. Today, let's start with an expat gringo story that you hope doesn't happen to you. The other day, I was driving along on the Pan American Highway. You know, that's the one that goes from Alaska all the way down to Panama City. And in many points along that road, it's highly congested. Sometimes it's four lanes, sometimes it's three, sometimes two, sometimes it's one because they're always working on it somewhere. Anyway, we were driving along one of the more congested areas on that highway. Actually, I wasn't driving. I was in the passenger seat and a young lady was driving. Anyway, we're motivating along at around 20 miles an hour or even less because, like I said, very congested. And suddenly, we got into a fight with a chicken bus. There we were on a nice section of what they call CA-1, CA-1, that's Pan American Highway in Central America, in the left lane, that would be the passing lane, right? Or the so-called faster moving lane, because on the right is where the chicken buses have their bus stops, etc. So if you're in the far right lane, no matter how many lanes there are on that highway, you're going to be constantly stopping and getting doused with noxious clouds of chicken bus exhaust smoke. Which is why it's always best to stay in the farthest left lane if you can. And always a great idea to avoid being directly behind any chicken bus. What with the fumes, high revving motors, and constant stopping, man, let's just say that's why I recommend you never have a gun in your car. Anyway, we're driving along, and there's a chicken bus in the far right of the three lanes. Then, predictably, the driver, without signaling, decides he's going to whip across three lanes at once. I say predictably because it's very common down here. You have to always keep your eyes on double alert for such things because drivers down here have no idea that up in the States, if you cross over two lanes at once, you'll get a $200 ticket. Down here, people do it all the time. I'm sure it's in the Latin road regulation books. They copy that stuff directly from the first world, but no one reads that stuff, including the cops. Which reminds me, there are quite a few places on the Pan American Highway in nearly all the big cities it passes through, San Salvador, Managua, Guatemala City, San Jose, Costa Rica, many cities in Mexico, and Panama City, Panama, where they've got five lanes of traffic. It's a place you'll see loads of people whipping across four lanes at one time. Mostly because the roads are so badly engineered, you'll find that many of the exit ramps are not on the far right lane as is traditional, but on the far left lane. And the signage is often terrible, so when you finally realize you have to get to the far left lane, you have to make a snap judgment decision to either yank the wheel and slip across three or four lanes in a hurry or miss your turn off completely. So in effect, the way Latin American roads are laid out, they actually encourage you to do multiple lane crossings at one time, which is why drivers in Latin America can often be aggressive, which explains why you see moving violations all the time and why cops do almost nothing about it. And Latins, by and large, have no idea when they're committing moving violations. That's just a way of getting around down here. But where were we? Oh, yeah. We're in the far left lane, going 15, maybe 20 kilometers an hour. A chicken bus on the far right finds an opening and decides to cut through two lanes. He overshoots the final lane and whacks the car I'm in on the passenger side, where I happen to be sitting. For a split second, lifts the whole car off the ground while sideswiping it. You know, that's the moment where time kind of stands still. Then, naturally, the young lady driver of the car I've been starts freaking out. She hits the brakes, stops. The chicken bus stops, too. We're blocking traffic on the busiest highway in Latin America, and people start beeping their horns. By the way, down here, you have to think of your car horn as a physical extension of your body. Usually, if you're out driving around on any mission, shopping, heading to work, whatever, you'll have hit it many times before you land at your destination. It's a kind of Latin body language, and it's an epidemic in other third world countries too. Anyway, there we were, stopped in a left lane, everyone's beeping their horn, and then I nudged the lady and said, listen, you gotta get over to the right side of the road or we're gonna get clobbered here. So we inched our way through traffic, pulled over on the right side of the road on the shoulder, Like I said, the chicken bus driver stopped, but only for about 10 seconds. Then he found another opening, stepped on it, and was gone. Now, being in Latin America a couple dozen years now, I knew that was going to happen. Every time a chicken bus driver gets in an accident, if his bus still works and it's not disabled, he'll step on it and get the hell out of there. And the passengers, they don't know the rules. They don't have cars. They're riding the chicken bus. They just want to get to their destinations. And if he stops, that'll hold them up. So they're thinking, come on, let's get out of here. And that's exactly what usually happens. And if the chicken bus is flipped over or wrecked and he can't get the thing moving, he'll take to the hills and run for dear life. Why? Because when a chicken bus driver gets in any kind of accident at all and the police or an insurance company are involved, he gets fired. Instantly. Not to mention, stats say that more than half the chicken bus drivers who get in an accident have been drinking. That's just, you know, the glamorous life of a chicken bus driver. And owners of the bus lines themselves know they're imminently dispensable, which is why there's always 20 of them waiting in the wings when there's a job opening. So do note, if you ever get in an accident with a chicken bus, you're never going to be able to confront the driver. He'll be long gone. The best you can do if it's a simple fender bender is quickly take a snapshot of the guy's license plates. That way, when your insurance company guy shows up, and he'll come in 10 minutes or so, you have one of those speed dial numbers if you have insurance down here, and they do come fast. He'll already know you got hit by a chicken bus because you'll report that when you call it in to the speed dial number. And the next thing your insurance guy will ask, after wondering if you're hurt or not, if you need some medical assistance, is if you got a picture or know the plate number of the chicken bus. Because then they'll generally be able to squeeze the money out of the bus company's insurance, if they have it. If they don't have it, well, that's against the law, but since when has that ever stopped a Latin American bus company from operating their rotten pieces of junk 24/7? And believe me, most are rotten pieces of junk. Virtual death traps, but you knew that already, right? Of course, they all start out new, don't they? Just like every vehicle on the road. However, in Latin America, as with all places in the third world, people don't discard their property or vehicles till duct tape, super glue, and chicken wire just won't hold the thing together anymore. So anyway, just a minute or two after the accident, we're pulled over to the right side of the road. She's calling the insurance company. She's all shook up but not hurt. Me, somehow I must have whacked my head on something because she said I was starting to get a shiner. Yep. She was right. I looked in the mirror and there was a nice little black and blue mark under my right eye. But no permanent damage done. Not to me or her, just to the car. By the way, you'll notice if you're traveling through Latin America, there are hundreds if not thousands of chicken buses in various stages of deterioration. Yep, they're still in everyday service no matter how much they're falling apart. And you know, ironically enough, almost none of them have their full complement of brake and headlights working. Though many of them are lit up like Christmas trees at night, with hundreds of little LEDs and bulbs and all kinds of stupid-ass configurations and patterns. Where they find the money to pile on all that crap, who knows? Yep, having the most tricked-out, badass death trap on the road is much more important than having working headlights or taillights, right? Priorities, priorities, huh? Oh, and get this. Every single one of them named after a girlfriend, wife, mistress, Jesus, or a saint, in neon or LEDs or massive, bold-painted letters. Now, the reason why I'm bringing up the fact that almost all chicken buses are virtual wrecks, except the very new ones, of course, just to point out the fact that the driver doesn't give a damn if he puts another two or three dents in that bus. Hell, they never do any body work on them anyway. You'll see, when you come down, oftentimes you'll be driving right behind a chicken bus that not only has a missing bumper, but missing body pieces. Which doesn't seem to matter as long as the thing still runs and they still can pack in 100 or so people. It's all about, you know, collecting the fares. And of course, if you were to do any investigation into the real ownership and paperwork on these chicken buses, you'll find almost all these fleets are owned by politicians, politicians' wives, politicians' brothers, sisters, uncles, family members. There's really big money in chicken buses here because there's huge government subsidies, which is why you could take a chicken bus across any big town for about 10 to 25 cents. And even if the buses are owned by an anonymous SA corporation, politicians and their friends and cronies are the names behind those documents. And they make their real money once a year when they get that big subsidy check from the government. So it's all about cronyism and keeping that stuff secret, which is why No matter how many times you see a chicken bus flipped over or fallen off a cliff on the 6 o'clock news, you'll almost never see a court case where a chicken bus company is sued. But back to the story. So then what happened? Well, the insurance guy arrived in his little van, took a look at the car, listened to the story, shook his head and said, "Yep, damn chicken buses, a menace to society." With a lot of four-letter puta words thrown in, if you know what I mean. So anyway, as it turned out, the young lady driving had a 2014 late model compact car with a $500 deductible. That's pretty common down here. By the way, another way insurance companies down here write policies up is by offering a 3% deductible. That's 3% of the present value of your car. Who knows how they came up with that 3% number, but they use it all the time. Only in Latin America, huh? By the way, I mentioned in past shows that almost no one has car insurance down here, except people who buy brand new cars and get on payment plans. They're forced into it in case they get the car stolen or crack it up. That way, the bank or dealership, whoever made the loan and holds the lien, don't get screwed. Anyway, because maybe only 2 to 5% of Latins on the road are insured, that means people who work for those insurance companies seemingly only deal with a higher class of people. I said seemingly higher class, didn't I? Because, you know, even executives in suits down here will pull over to the side of the road and whip out the family jewels and relieve themselves for the whole world to see. So I guess what I mean by a higher class of people is that they definitely have more money and more education. And that's true of the insurance adjusters, too. They're definitely more educated than the average Latin. And in addition, they're smiley and happy, too, which seems to be the state of almost all Latins in general. We've talked about the country happiness studies before and how high the Latins rate. And I'll tell you, that insurance guy was one of the happiest, smiliest guys I've ever met. And it was no put on either. Now, since the car still ran, it just had a nice crease down the side, he said, "Look, how about we go over to a car repair shop right now and get an estimate?" The good news, he said, it'll probably only cost around $200. The bad news, your deductible's more than that. He said, "Follow me. I'll take you to a good body shop nearby." Again, he didn't have to do that. However, I know it was partly the gringo advantage. I was probably the first gringo or one of the first ones he ever had a conversation with. He didn't speak any English, but I can tell you this, he was overly anxious to help us out. So we followed him for a few minutes. We pulled up, got out of the car, and a guy came over and gave an estimate. Just about $400 on the head. And when the estimator went back in his office, the guy from the insurance company said to me, "Listen, I know another good place about 3 kilometers from here. Let's go check that one out. But don't get out of the car. Just let me and the young lady do the talking." So we followed him, went to the second shop, and sure enough, the estimate came in at $150. Now, I'm sure you're wondering why so cheap, even at $400, when I mentioned that the car was sideswiped. Well, that's because there was nothing but body work needed. Didn't need any spare parts, no lights broken, so no factory parts necessary. Even though body work's dirt cheap down here, if you have to get factory parts, things will get expensive fast. Which brings us back to the fact that the first place wanted $400 and the second place $150. Well, you guessed it. It was the gringo disadvantage this time. The first body man sees a gringo get out of the car and right away, the price gets jacked up, more than double. However, a side swipe like that in the States would cost all of $1,500 to $2,000 guaranteed. At $400, it was a gift. Though, in the end, a two-day job and the price, $150 complete. And you have to ask yourself, how could they possibly do it so cheap? Well, that's because the body guys here get about $20 to $25 a day. So even if he's got a guy on it full-time for 2 days, that's $50 and maybe another $25 for the paint, the owner still makes 50% off the deal, $75. So bottom line, what did we learn from this little adventure? Number one, never get in a road battle with a chicken bus. You'll lose. Always try to stay as far away from them as you can. And be aware, if you get in an accident, 95% of the time, the other guy will not have coverage. Now, us gringos come from a culture of car insurance, so almost all of us have insurance once we start driving here. By the way, having insurance coverage is the law in most Latin countries. However, the vast majority of Latins who drive don't have it. And unlike your average gringo, they don't feel a bit of guilt or remorse about it, even after they've been in an accident and are asked to produce their non-existent insurance card. By the way, I'd say if the guy's car is still running after the accident, about a third of the time he'll bolt. Oh, and another thing. Your insurance adjuster can make the choice right there to call the cops, or you can call the cops, and they'll usually show up if they're nearby within the half hour. If they're not, maybe a couple hours. Then, if you push the issue, the guy without insurance is really in trouble, which is why so many of them just bolt. So it's kind of a catch-22. If a Latin guy doesn't have insurance, which is usually the case, he'll think about bolting. On the other hand, I'm talking about Latin guys. Almost all Latin women, when involved in an accident, will stick around, insurance or not. Now, if it's a tiny fender bender, the guy might stick around and offer you some cash. And if the cops show up or you call your insurance guy and he shows up, you certainly won't press charges. Not if he can come up with the cash, right? Remember, Latins don't have insurance for one reason. They're tapped out. However, you have to realize that if you press charges and the guy goes to court, he's going to lose because he doesn't have insurance, but he's tapped out. So going through the legal process will only get you a judgment the guy will never pay, which is reason number 1,256 why it's not a great idea to drive a new, expensive, late model car. Just know there are so many careless, untrained asswipes on the road in Latin America with no insurance, driving pieces of junk who've got nothing to lose. I know, there are so many gringos and expats out there that just have to have a nice late model car. I can see it. Who doesn't like to ride in luxury, especially if you're stuck in traffic? And if you live in any big Latin city, that's going to happen a lot of the time, just like up in the first world. But here's the thing. When you get in an accident, you're not so sure the other guy's going to stick around. And believe me, you can instantly size up whether a guy's got insurance or not. Just check out what he's driving. I mean, the condition it's in. And another thing, if you get in an accident and it's a busy intersection, a lot of traffic around, the guy will stop even if he knows he doesn't have insurance and he'd rather be running. When the traffic's heavy, there are too many eyewitnesses, and often there's a transit cop or two around. And if they see a car leave the scene of the accident and can get a plate number, they'll be all over it. Now, there are a lot of strange things here in Latin America that you never see up in the first world. And one of those very odd things is when you get in an accident, even if the cops show up and the insurance adjuster, oftentimes everyone knows one or both of the parties doesn't have that mandatory insurance. So there'll be a couple of moments where some negotiation will take place before filling out any paperwork at all. It's quite common after the negotiation that there's a cash payout either then and there or later in the day. Because even a guy who's driving a junk, who might be tapped out, if he's stuck after an accident, facing the cops and the insurance adjusters, he can sometimes quickly collect some cash from friends and relatives to get out of it. And of course, neither your insurance company or the cops are supposed to let that happen, but they'll almost always give you a few minutes to negotiate. That way, there's no paperwork, no follow-up, no court date. You get the picture. Yet another reason to like Latin America a lot, for their lazy-ass cops. However, as you probably know, there's also such thing as a gringo disadvantage, especially when you're negotiating prices. So sometimes it's best to have a Latin person do the deal for you. In other words, don't let them see your face till the deal's done. That can be especially valuable when doing a big deal, like buying a house or some land, or doing a rental contract. All right, now if you remember, I mentioned a couple of minutes ago that when the insurance investigator came, referring back to that accident again, and he saw it was a chicken bus that sideswiped the vehicle and naturally got away, he went into a little bit of a swearing rant, in a nice, kind of upbeat way too, if you can imagine that. I'm not kidding. Using the common, most descriptive Latin four-letter word there is, that would be puta, P-U-T-A, literally meaning in English, bitch, which is why Latins will often say hijo de puta, which means son of a bitch. Now, just like our most descriptive four-letter word, that begins with a friggin and ends with an uck, their famous and most often used four-letter word conveys various meanings and sentiments depending on emphasis, intonation, and situation. For example, if a bird craps on a Latin shoulder, he'll say, ah, puta, which literally translates to, oh, crap. Then perhaps a guy scratches off an instant lottery ticket and wins. He might say, oh, puta, meaning cool, great, just the opposite of the preceding example. Then suppose two guys are standing in a mall and a couple of knockout girls walk right by in the food court. One guy might say under his breath to the other, puta, which loosely means, wow, check it out. So it's one of those infinitely flexible swear words in Spanish that used to be reserved for just macho guys when together with no Latin women in earshot because they'd be offended by it. But now, it's very common to hear young Latin women use it too, though you'll very rarely hear a Latin woman over 50 use it. And it's almost never used in family gatherings in the home. So young Latina adults and teenagers will use it during friendly girl talk, though rarely when they're out in public among strangers. Though you'll hear Latin men sprinkle it in their casual conversations almost all the time, though never formally. In fact, for some Latin guys, it's become the universal filler word, just like the F word up in the States. So whether it's an insult, an exclamation, or just a filler word, it all depends how it's used and the intonation. Same thing goes, by the way, with the word gringo. But do note, depending if you're on or off the gringo tourist trail, the Latins have a different concept of the word gringo, too. In fact, it seems as if Latins who've never met a gringo before face-to-face have the initial impression that the word gringo is kind of a put-down or an insult, so they almost never use it. Maybe amongst themselves, but never in front of you. So rest assured, your maid or maintenance guy will probably never use that word, not in front of you anyway. However, the closer you get to the tourist trail, the more you'll hear Latins using the word. And of course, to us, it just means a first world person down here in Latin America. But to Latins, it can mean two or three different things depending on the intonation. As mentioned before, if a Latin person says, oh, there's a new gringo moved into the neighborhood. Well, you know, that's just another first world person living in Latin America. However, let's say you pull into a gas station and there's two guys standing at the pump. You roll your window down and you overhear one of them say, I better get over and pump that gas. You know, gringos. That's the reputation we do have on the tourist trail. Impatient, pushy, kind of demanding. You know the stereotype. In fact, I've had this happen to me before in Mexico. I walked into a bar. I'm the only gringo there. Two guys are sitting there, and as I walk by, I hear one of them say, kind of snidely, gringo. Now, that's never happened to me when I've been off the gringo tourist trail. Because where there are few of us, we're considered valued guests. Unless we come off instantly as out-and-out jerks, some of us are, you know. Which is why, in tourist spots like Costa Rica, Cancun, etc., Latins put on a happy face, but it's really because we bring our money. Okay, how about this? The other day I was flipping through the Latin news channels and there was a report out of Panama where a big TV station had sent some of their people posing as patients to doctor's offices trying to sniff out the doctors that were practicing illegally, that is, ones without a license. Turns out it's a big problem here in Latin America. Something almost no one's talking about because they don't have medical associations with any teeth that can go after these guys and check them out. So the TV station sent some people out posing as patients, stopping at various hole-in-the-wall doctor's offices in cheap strip malls. So how do fake or unlicensed doctors get caught? Well, they do sometimes. But they almost never get to court or go to jail. They just skip the country. And unless an unfortunate patient has a bad experience and goes to a police department and makes a formal complaint, that's the only way these guys get investigated. But that rarely happens because Latins are unlikely to file complaints against authority figures. But here's a few tips for expats and gringos. For one thing, a doctor without credentials can never practice at a legit hospital. So just ask the guy which hospital he has privileges at and call up the hospital. Now, the key is that every board-certified doctor in any Latin country is issued what they call a colleague number or colega number, which will be printed on his or her prescription pads, business cards, and even on his medical school diploma. So it's ridiculously easy just to ask the doctor for his colleague number. And if you've got any doubts whatsoever, just call the local hospital or one of the local medical schools and give up that number and see if he's listed. And of course, every hospital administrator is going to have a list of all the qualified doctors in that country. That's also true of dentists, by the way. Now, of course, I don't expect the average expat gringo to go to some hole-in-a-wall office in a shopping mall. That looks more like a janitor's office than anything, but being that plastic surgery is so big here in Latin America, and the latest rage is Kardashian style silicone butt, not implants, but injections, which are considered completely unethical because the stuff floats around and migrates and could end up precisely where you don't want it, like maybe someday around your ankles. But that doesn't seem to have stopped hundreds of thousands of Latin girls from getting said butt injections. Why? Because bona fide butt implants cost $2,000 to $3,000 and butt injections a couple hundred. And you know the story, the average Latin down here makes $300 to $400 a month, so it's usually money, not brains or any kind of investigation, that makes that decision. And therefore, a lot of these butt injection clinics have popped up in strip malls. They last a few months and disappear quite suddenly. Almost all of them run by so-called doctors that have nice, shiny diplomas on the wall, claiming they graduated from medical schools in countries notorious for big butts like Brazil, Argentina, Venezuela, and Colombia. Which begs the question, how could you ever prove that these guys and gals are real? Well, easy. They're going to need to have one of these colleague numbers, or they can't practice in the country that they have that office. So, if you get the colleague number, a few phone calls will settle the case. However, it should never even get that far because butt injections are totally unethical, contraindicated by all the formal groups of cosmetic surgeons. But you longtime listeners know that Latins never seem to investigate anything. If 20-year-old next-door neighbor Vilma suddenly comes home with a nice, round, perfect butt, and she tells her friend Maria that it only costs $300, well, Maria's going to start saving her pesos and go to the same clinic. So yes, the latest and greatest fad here in Latin America, butt injections, though totally poo-pooed by legitimate plastic surgeons. But you know, it's not something you talk about in mixed company, especially these days when those big-butted Colombian jeans stores are opening up everywhere. Why do you think all of a sudden that's happening? Give you one guess. Okay, we're getting towards the end of the program now. Don't forget, if you can't make it to one of my Expat Insider seminars, and there's one going on right now, the next best thing to getting boots on the ground here in Latin America is to check out my Expat Essentials course. Just go to www.expatplanb.com. I've got a couple of free videos for you that explain the whole thing. Smart, astute, first world people know they have to have a plan B when the feces hits the ventilator, and it will. Just don't wait too long to get it started. Things are happening fast. Go to www.expatplanb.com for hundreds of great tips on how to get your own plan B on the ground and running.
South of the border.
This is the Expat Files, living in Latin America. If you want me to help you out with your own plan B, just schedule a one-on-one consult. Send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to learn how to move forward with your own plan B from right up there in the States, go to www.expatplanb.com and check out my three videos. See ya. Nos vemos.